back in Ephesians 6, and he's not here, so somebody can tell him, but thanks to Joe for filling in for me last week. I'm not sure whether it was a good thing I was here or not. I wasn't here or not. Interesting subject.
Yeah. You have to listen to the recording.
Okay.
Yeah, we were a tough class. That's why he's not here tonight.
Okay. I see. Still home recovering, licking his wound. Okay. We left off last time in Ephesians 6, talking about the second of two things that we have to have in order to wear the armor successfully. And that second thing is our diet. First one is exercise. But our diet, what we eat. And we left off pointing out in Hebrews 5:14, Paul talks about those that are of full age are the ones that are the only ones that can handle the strong meat. And if somebody will go to Revelation 3, someone to Titus 1, someone to 1 Timothy 6, and someone to Matthew 15, we would point out again that mature saints are ones who have had their senses, as Paul says there in Hebrews 5, their organs of perception, if you will, and of course, this is spiritual perception and spiritual senses. They've had their senses trained naked. That's the thought of training without any handicaps. They've had their senses trained naked to distinguish or discern clearly spiritual things again. And we closed with the fact that that ability is partly the result of dining on strong meat, or as it's translated in the Greek, it literally means stiff rations. And I don't know how many of you in here have ever eaten military rations other than Walt, the MREs, but I don't know if they've improved them much, Walt, but they used to stink pretty bad.
They're pretty good compared to 1940s.
Are they?
Sea rat.
All right, good. So anyway, the stiff rations. And think about, the Word of God. If we're going to feed on that, one of the first things we understand about the Word of God is it's very sharp. It cuts. Mm-hmm. So and we know from Old Testament testimonies that many times the Word of God will be sweet to our taste but bitter once it hits our stomach. So with those things in mind, we realize that eating the strong meat that Paul is referring to is going to work on us, maybe in ways that aren't always comfortable. Okay? It's going to cut. It's going to reduce. Now, it's going to increase, obviously, in spiritual things, but it's going to have an effect, and that effect is not always pleasant, or at least to the flesh, okay? Mm-hmm. All right. So, Revelation 3, whoever's there, verse 10.
Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth.
Okay. And that thought, the word of my patience. Notice it's not the word of your patience or my patience. Mm-hmm. It's the word of his patience. And if you think again about children versus mature saints, children are impatient by nature. And unfortunately, many adults are still impatient because they haven't grown up. Okay? It's a mark, of course, of the natural man, of the flesh. But the word of his patience, and again, it kind of reflects back to the food we eat. We want to be all grown up overnight. It's not going to happen. All right? The food doesn't work that way. So the Church of Philadelphia are those who have learned to dine, if you will, but dwell as well under his patience, not ours.
Amen.
But his patience. Amen. And, you know, many times humanly we don't see much progress, but that's not up to us. And it's not for us to judge or evaluate. It's up to him. Okay. But however, let's go to Titus 1, verse 14, whoever's there.
Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth.
Okay, and then in 1 Timothy 6, verse 20. Someone have it?
Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called.
Okay. Matthew 15, whoever's there, verse 9.
But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.
And if somebody will go to Colossians 2, and whoever gets there, verse 22.
Which all are to perish with the using after the commandment and doctrine of men.
Okay. And Chrisette, if you would stay in 1 Timothy 1. Somebody go to 2 Timothy 2. Someone to Titus 3. And someone to 1 Corinthians 3. So here, these last few verses we read, saints who include in their diet error such as the Jewish fables, the oppositions of science, the doctrines of men, etc., etc., are not training naked. All right? And as a result, they will not come to a healthy maturity. All right? Look at our world today, and our maybe especially our nation, the consumption of so-called junk food and what it's doing to us. Okay? We have children, you know, that haven't even reached the age of responsibility, who are so obese that it's pathetic. Okay? That's not natural. Okay? So, that's what happens, though, when we, spiritually, when we take things in other than, I'm just going to say it like our pastor is kind of becoming the norm for him, when we take in things other than Paul's gospel. Because if we follow Paul's gospel, we will have rightly divided truth. All right? Okay. 1 Timothy 1, Chrisette, verses 4 through 7.
Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm.
Okay. And then in chapter 4, verse 7.
But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness.
Okay. 2 Timothy 2, whoever's there, verse 14.
But these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the words.
Okay. Verse 16, Sean.
But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more darkness.
In verse 23.
But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife.
And then in chapter 4, verse 4.
And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables.
And whoever's in Titus 3, verse 9.
But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain.
Okay. Now just in those three little short epistles to Timothy and Titus, look how many times Paul is talking, warning them about avoiding junk food, if you will. All right? You think it's important? I think so. All right? Especially for those like Paul that want to win God's best. Finally, in 1 Corinthians 3, whoever's there, the first four verses.
And brethren, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for wherein there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one say, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?
Okay. So, here again. All these examples are saints, are things that will keep saints from coming to healthy maturity. All right? Let's have somebody go to Galatians 1, somebody to chapter 3 here in Ephesians, and if you would, Chrisette, stay in 1 Timothy 1, and someone to Proverbs 31. You may remember back just a bit that back in 2 Timothy 2, 3, Paul admonished Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And we brought out that word good there is number 2570 in the Strong's Greek, and it means choice or excellent, honorable, or distinguished. All right? Well, that same word occurs here that same word occurs in 2 Timothy 4, where Paul says, I have fought a good fight. The only way Paul could confidently state that he fought a good fight is because he had stayed true to the revelation that was given to him.
Mm-hmm.
He stayed true to the strong meat, the stiff rations, okay? That which may not always taste so good,
mm-hmm.
right, Joe? Mm-hmm. But it's good for us,
mm-hmm.
all right? And when he says, I have fought a good fight, it's that same word, kalos. It means honorable or distinguished. And whoever's in Galatians 1, verse 12,
for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ.
And in Ephesians 3, verse 3.
How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words.
Okay. And Chrisette, chapter 1, verse 11.
According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust.
Okay, so again, Paul could only have fought a good fight by staying true to that message, that revelation, that gospel that the Lord revealed and committed to him. All right, and again, as he did that, he fought an honorable or a distinguished fight. In Proverbs 31, whoever's there, read verse 29.
Many daughters have been virtuously, but thou excellest them all.
Ah, she has a distinguished place because she fought a good fight. All right, she exceeded, she excelled everyone else. And that's the thought here with this good fight. If we fight a distinguished fight, it's going to yield a distinguished place.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Okay. Then notice in verse 11, Paul says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And let's have somebody go to Romans 15. The word put on there, the phrase put on, is number 1746 in the Strong's Greek. It's the Greek word enduo. And it literally means to in sync in or under. and it means to invest or array oneself with something. Where was in Romans 15, verse 2?
Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification.
Is that 15:2?
Yeah.
Oh. Uh-huh.
How about 15:12?
Okay. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust.
Nope. Okay, stand by. Another technical difficulty here. All right, let's see. I bet I know what happened. You're not dyslexic at all, are you, Bill? Whatever happens to you. 12:2. Sorry, Zena.
Okay. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and that perfect will of God.
Okay, thank you. So this thought here in verse 11 of put on the whole armor of God, this phrase, this sentence begs a picture which for the most part is foreign to the Western world. The Middle Eastern, Asian, and Far Eastern peoples largely wore clothing in such a way as to necessitate the wrapping of themselves in it. Okay? They would wrap their bodies. If you've ever seen, the best example that comes to mind is one of these men from India that wears the turban on their head. That's all wrapped together. So their clothing was such that they had to wrap themselves with it or in it. Whereas in the Western world, our clothing has largely been made to be pulled on in some regard. We pull on socks. We pull on pants. We have pullover sweaters. We don't do too much wrapping unless it's a special style or something like that. The Japanese.
Samurai, okay. 37.
Okay, excellent example. Okay, so there was a difference in the way they dressed themselves. All right, and this word in duo, that's the thought of this word, to wrap ourselves in something. Not just to drape something on and button it up or zip it, but to actually wrap ourselves with it. Okay, so when he says put on, we want to enwrap ourselves in the armor of God, to sink in it, if you will. Okay, then that phrase in the same verse there, 11, that phrase, may be able, that you may be able, that phrase may be able is number 1410 in the Greek, and as you would expect, it's the word dunamai, related to dunamis, 1411. But its meaning here, in this case, is to be empowered. Okay? Paul is saying, put on or enwrap yourselves, envelop yourselves in the whole armor of God, that you may be empowered to stand. Okay? And if somebody will go to 2 Corinthians 12 and someone to Acts 1, we know, going back to verse 10 here in Ephesians, that this being empowered is in the power of his might. All right? If we're going to be empowered, it can only be in his might. All right? And whoever gets to 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9.
And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Okay, so, let's see, Acts 1, whoever's there, verse 8.
You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and in, unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Okay. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon them. So, it is only in the realization and acknowledgement. It's one thing to know it's that way, but to take it to myself, to believe it, that, yes, this is my life, this has to apply to me. It's only in the realization and acknowledgement of our own weakness. And when I say weakness, in parentheses, total inability. It's only in the recognition and acceptance of our own total inability that we can wear or enwrap ourselves in this sevenfold array of armor. Okay? If you think about going back to, I don't know which Timothy, it's in Job, Paul said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What does that entail? Total inability on my part. It's got to be his grace. If his grace doesn't empower me or you, it's not going to happen. All right? Okay. Now, the multiple occurrences of the word stand in the next few verses, and that's number 2476 if you want to look it up in the Greek, and that it means exactly that, to stand for something. The multiple occurrences of that word in the verses that follow reveal an important feature of our fight and the battles that we will engage in. That is, they are all defensive in nature. Okay? Does everybody understand the difference between defensive and offensive? And I'm not talking football. Although it could apply. In an offensive battle, you are seeking to gain something. Whether it's ground, whether it's control over an enemy force, or whatever. In a defensive battle, you are seeking to hold on to and maintain what you have. That's the difference between an offensive and a defensive approach to battle. Our battles are all defensive in nature. You think of the one example that came to mind was the Revolutionary War that was fought for this country. The colonists were not seeking to overthrow England. They weren't seeking to gain any ground on the Isle of England. All they wanted was to be left alone. They sought to preserve a form of liberty. Okay? They wanted to keep what they had. So their battle was largely a defensive one. That doesn't mean they never went on the offensive. But by and large, the Revolutionary War was a defensive one. They simply wanted to hold on to what they had. Okay? So we are not called to, nor do we need to fight to gain anything, because the Lord has already given us everything. Praise all right? Amen. Let's have somebody go to Romans 8, someone to John 3, someone to 1 John 5. And in Romans 8, whoever gets there, verse 32.
He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
Okay, now, that's sort of looking to the future. How shall he not give us? But if you've been here the last few months, our pastor has been emphasizing the fact that for the Lamb's wife, what is mine is yours. It's already been given. And we can go back even to the first chapter of this epistle. We are seated, past tense, in the heavenlies, okay? Past and present. Not something that's going to happen. It has happened. All right? So, let's look at a couple of examples as far as what the fact that we've already been given everything. The first one that comes to mind is eternal life. We have been given eternal life. It is ours. It is not something we are looking forward to. It's not something we have to seek or fight to gain. All right? John 3, whoever's there, verse 36.
He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life.
Okay, is there anything?
But the wrath of God.
Oh,
yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
Is there anything complicated about that statement from anybody? Pretty understandable? Okay. Well, I figured if I could understand it, most everybody else would. Okay. 1 John 5, whoever's there, verses 11 and 12.
And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God hath not life.
Amen.
Anybody have any difficulty with that verse or verses? Okay, pretty plain, all right? All right, let's take another example where somebody will go to John 14, someone to Luke 10, someone to Philippians 3, someone to Colossians 1. Heaven is ours. We are no longer hoping to get to heaven, all right? We don't have to fight to get to heaven. It is ours. John 14, whoever's there, verse 3.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Okay. Luke 10, whoever's there, verse 20. Now, let's think about the fight, though, because we are in a battle. It's simply a defensive battle rather than an offensive one. Now, in a defensive battle, the idea for the other side is to take what you have. So that's what the enemy is about. We are to stand, as Paul is going to tell us here in the list of the armor, but the enemy would love to take. Now, in reality, he cannot take our eternal life. He cannot take heaven from us. But if he can convince us in our hearts that he can or has, we lose quite a bit, don't we? In other words, think about how many believers think they can lose their salvation. That they're on probation. You know what? They never grow up.
That's right. Right.
They stay little children. Okay? All right. Philippians 3, whoever's there, verse 20.
For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
And of course, that word conversation means
citizenship.
Citizenship. Okay? And I still, every time I think about that story the pastor told when he was on vacation, I still have to grin. When he went through Italy and they were all upset about who was going to be the next president, and he looked around and he said, I'm not from here, I don't care. Look in here and see if you see anybody that gives two hoots, you know. We're citizens of heaven. All right?
Amen.
Now, we stand on that. We defend that.
Amen.
All right? Colossians 1, whoever's there, verse 5.
For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel.
Okay. Let's have somebody go to 1 Thessalonians 4 and someone to 1 Peter 1. And whoever gets to 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 14 through 17.
For I do believe that Jesus died and rose again. Some of them also will sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the Lord, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
So shall we ever be with the Lord. Okay? Any uncertainty or doubt in those statements? I don't think so. First Peter 1, whoever's there, verse 4.
To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you.
Okay? Even Peter knew it was permanent. Mm-hmm. All right? The last, third and last example we'll use, if somebody will go to John chapter 8, someone to Romans chapter 8, and someone to Galatians chapter 5. The third example is liberty is ours. All right? We have been made free.
Like the song was
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that. Isn't that interesting how the Lord put that together? I had no idea what song my wife wanted us to sing when I wrote this. John 8, verses 31 through 36.
Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou that ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed.
Okay. Romans 8, whoever's there, verse 2.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
Amen. Love that. Galatians 5, whoever's there, verse 1.
Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Okay, now, obviously, he says stand fast in the liberty. Well, that liberty has several facets to it. He says don't get entangled with the yoke of bondage. There's several different yokes that the enemy would love to put on our lives. Mm-hmm. If we don't stand fast and recognize that liberty that we've been given, that we've been brought into. Let's have somebody go back to Revelation 3 and someone back to 2 Timothy 4. So, being defensive in nature, we are told very clearly to hold that fast which thou hast.
Amen.
Not which you're going to gain someday, not which you might get, if you hang on, that which you have, hold it fast, that no man take thy crown. Revelation 3, whoever's there, verse 11.
Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast that thou hast, that no man take thy crown.
And this was written to Philadelphia saints.
Amen.
The church of the brotherly affection, the brotherly love. All right? 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8.
I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearance.
Okay. So here again, Paul departed knowing that he had that exalted rank of righteousness, that crown. Not because of his being faithful, but because he held fast. He continued to believe in what God had said, which is the same as what's true. what exactly is, okay? All right. Now, let's have somebody go to Leviticus 20 and Numbers 33 and someone to Deuteronomy 1. Now, I don't want to leave a false impression, so understand that there is definitely a growing into things of the Lord, such as our liberty in Christ and our qualifying for the place with Him as His wife. We have to grow into those things. We grow into it by learning all more about it and believing it. Okay? counting the Lord faithful and believing that what he says is so. Mm-hmm. All right? So, there is a growing into things, a maturing. But even these have been given to us provisionally in him. In other words, we already have them. Just as Israel was promised the land of Canaan, their part was to go in and take possession of it. Okay? Leviticus 20, whoever's there, verse 24.
What I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it. The land that floweth with milk and honey, I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people.
Okay? Did he say, you're going to have to go in and conquer that land for yourself? No, he said, I'm going to give it to you. Okay? Numbers 33, whoever's there, verse 53.
And you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it.
Just go in and take it. I've given it to you. All right? Deuteronomy 1, whoever's there, verse 8.
Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them.
And verse 21, if you look, Michelle.
Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged.
What else do you say? He said, go possess it. Okay? And, not to get too much off on a sidetrack, but look at what happened at Kadesh Barnea. He said, I brought you to the land, go up and take it. And they said, no way, Jose. Okay? There were probably at least two different attitudes there, maybe more, but a couple of them come to mind. One attitude was, this is a suicide mission, which translates as, the Lord brought us out here to kill us. Have you heard that before? Uh-huh. And the other one was, one of the other attitudes was, go up and take it. The Lord's going to give it to us. That's way too easy. Can't be true. What is that?
Disbelief.
Legality. Yeah. I got to do something.
Yeah.
No, just go take it.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. Let's have somebody go back to John 3, someone to Galatians 2, someone to chapter 1 here in Ephesians, and someone to Colossians 1. So, again, there are things we grow into, but even these have been given to us provisionally in the Lord. But still, notwithstanding, it's a matter, having these things is a matter of faith, of believing and allowing Christ to grow up, or, if you like, increase in us. It's just allowing him to do it. Carolyn?
Correct me if I'm wrong, please. The thought just came to me. Sometimes I get crazy thoughts.
Welcome to the club.
But I was just thinking, as far as the beginning and the Word of God is concerned, when you really look at the Word, in the beginning they were young. They just ate fruit, a few this and a that. And then as the progress in the Bible, they take a halt and they start eating things till they got to the place where they could eat meat. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure. It's just like in the natural.
Yeah.
You want to make a young child or an infant real sick, try feeding them some sushi. It's not for babies. It's probably not for a bunch of adults either. I'm sure there's some in here that don't like it. But there are foods that you don't give infants. Okay? Unless you want to make them real, real sick or even kill them. Okay? So there's a maturity that comes in our bodies physically with growing that enables us at some point or another to digest foods that we couldn't at a younger age. Which I believe is essentially what Paul is saying when he says strong meat belongs to them that are of a full age, who have had their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Isn't that saying the same thing? Yeah, we've got to grow. Sure. Okay. John 3, whoever's there, verse 30.
He must increase, but I must decrease.
Okay, amen. He must increase. I'm glad you got it straight, Joe. Thanks for doing that.
That's my birthday. That's my verse.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, that would be a good one to have memorized. Yeah. Galatians 2, whoever's there, verse 20.
I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Okay, love that. The more we believe that and yield to it, that's where the increase comes. And the thing I love so much in there is Paul said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not my faith, his faith.
Amen.
How much did Jesus believe? Joe? Did Jesus ever doubt a single thing, Chris?
No.
Imagine that. Never had a single shadow or flash of doubt. That is the very faith that you live by now. By faith. Okay?
Yes.
Okay, in chapter 1 here of Ephesians, whoever's there, verse 19.
What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power?
Okay, and again, this is a wonderful thing to get our hearts around, and our pastor talked about it this morning. God's power, his, every bit of his resources are directed towards you and I having his best.
Amen.
And when you look at it like that, you have to ask yourself, and this is not an ego thing, how could I possibly fail?
Amen.
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 Okay. Also, Hagen, in chapter 4, here in Ephesians, verses 13 through 16.
Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
Okay. Two phrases, growing up into him in all things, and the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Were you paying attention this morning when our pastor closed up towards the end by saying that the Lamb and his wife are going to be worshipped as one. They're going to share the same glory, the same worship. Okay. Finally, Colossians 1, verses 27 and 28.
To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus.
Okay. I think the pastor stole those verses from me, too.
Yeah.
But anyway, You see, the riches of the glory, again. Jesus and his Father want this place for you and I more than we can comprehend, more than we wanted ourselves. And they have committed every last resource, power, and ability to see that we have it.
What is so beautiful is we must grow into it. It can't be done.
No,
it's
there's
trials and tribulations and everything else that continue. Yep. Some stop because things happen. And
sure.
They call it. That's the base.
Sure.
But you continue on, eating of the word, listening to what you're saying,
yep.
And try.
Amen.
Then it's a growing.
Ty, what age did you decide you wanted to fly airplanes?
About two.
So your dad took you out to the local airport and paid to let you rent a plane for an hour?
No. Not then.
No. How many years later was it that you finally started flying?
I was 18.
So, 16 years later, before he even touched an airplane, so to speak, he had to grow up into it. The desire can be there.
Yep.
And I think that's why we strive to get people to join us, whether they're believers or not. We invite them in here. Come see what we know, what we enjoy. Now, they may latch a hold of it immediately and say, wow, I want that.
Right.
Are they ready to get behind the controls?
No.
They have to grow into it. But how fast or how slow they grow is not up to you or me. It's up to the Lord. Okay. Sean?
So, what if a person confesses Jesus on their deathbed and they didn't have time to grow? Do they become a palm waver? Where did they go?
How could they be anything else?
Right.
How could they be anything else?
Right.
Where was the time for growth and maturity? The time for the growth of faith.
Very good.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. The thief on the cross. Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me."
In heaven.
And he no doubt is.
Right.
But I will guarantee you this unequivocally:
Jesus.
He is not going to be sitting on that throne with you and I.
No.
All right. We are out of time for tonight. I hope it's been a blessing to you. Lord willing, we will continue on.